Dr. Pinsky dictating part of a case review. So it'll be the various short segments of statements, beginning with page one. He was admitted to the hospital. Although he underwent vascular consultation by Dr. Vitale, V-I-T-A-L-E, he did not render a specific diagnosis. Pretty did note Mr. DiTullo was extubated and then taken to the PACU. Period. New paragraph on page two, second paragraph, insert. 50-year-old white male with history of diabetes mellitus and chronic foot issues and has now been found to be septic with group B strep and fungemia. Appeared he had an echo the previous day without evidence of vegetations. Period. Paragraph 3 on page 2. He was, in fact, hospitalized for several weeks, although a discharge summary was not included in the documentation. Period. New paragraph. The initial blood glucose level at the emergency room on 11/4/17 was markedly elevated to 311, where the high normal is 99. Period. Also on that first visit, he was rendered diagnoses of diabetic foot infection, local infection of the skin and subcutaneous tissue, severe sepsis, and severe sepsis without shock. Period. New paragraph. He did undergo surgery by Dr. Morris on 11/29/17. The justification for the procedure was that, quote, this patient was admitted on 11/5/17, where he underwent an emergent incision and drainage for gas gangrene. Pretty was subsequently taken back to the operating room several days later for further debridement, which resulted in transmetatarsal amputation of the right foot. Period. He underwent this procedure for revision of the transmetatarsal amputation and further debridement, as well as application of a wound vac, VAC. Period. New paragraph. Many of Dr. Morris's office notes were handwritten and scribbled and illegible. These include visits from 12/13/17 through 5/14/18. Period. On 4/11/18, he had a typed note stating he was back in the office after missing his last two appointments. The last time he was in the office was 1 month ago. He continued to use the wound vac and did develop a small proximal ulceration above the primary wound due to the hose from the vac leaning against his skin. The exam revealed a small 2 cm by 8 mm rectangular lesion across the anterior ankle due to the hose. This has an excellent granular base with no exposure to bone or deeper tissue. There was no sign of infection around this. The main ulceration was now measured roughly 2 cm by 2 cm, which is a significant change from the essentially 7 by 7 cm lesion he had on 3/12/18. It has an excellent granular base with no exposure to bone or deeper tissue. The first metatarsal head, which had been exposed, is now completely covered with granulation tissue. End quote. A saline scrub debridement was performed and duodenum was placed on the more proximal hose wound. Continued to be seen by Dr. Morris on the dates described. Period. His typed notes clearly indicate Mr. Tertullio was receiving various methods of wound care. Period. On a Dr. Mars visit on 11/13/18, it was noted the antibiotics were changed to levoquin and minocycline after his culture indicated MRSA and other bacteria that were resistant to the original augmentin he was placed on. Period. He underwent a saline scrub and was told to continue use of silvodine on his wound. Period. Mr. Tertullio was a no-show for numerous scheduled visits with Dr. Morris during this several-year period of time. Period. In paragraph on 127-20, Dr. Morris wrote correspondence indicating, quote, Mr. Tertullio is a diabetic who had an ulcer that existed on the bottom of his right foot since before the time he began his employment with H&L. Prior to that, Mr. Tertullio reported he observed, cleaned, and treated the ulcer daily, and was free of infection when he went to work for H&L. But he also reported when he moved his wet boots after working for hours on their flooded yard, layers of skin were peeling off of his right foot. Brady did his best to clean the ulcer and continued to report to work. Period. Over the course of the next week, Mr. Tertullio developed pain in his right foot and developed a limp. Period. After several days, the pain increased, his foot discolored, and he sought medical attention at Glen Cove Hospital on 11/4/17. Period. He was then taken under the care of Dr. Morris for gas gangrene with diabetic foot infection of the right foot. Period. He then performed surgery on 11/5/17, 11/8/17, and 11/29/17, and provided follow-up treatment since. Period. Dr. Morris opined that, quote, Mr. Tertullio's ulcer was exacerbated and his infection in his right foot manifested while he was in the employ of H&L Contracting, and it is the effects of the infection that caused Mr. Tertullio to have a portion of his right foot amputated. It was also his opinion Mr. Tertullio had not reached maximum medical improvement, maximum medical cure, and needs further medical treatment. Period. Another typed office note from 130-20 indicates that after discharge from the hospital, he was given a guarded prognosis due to the large size of his wound and the location of the possible osteomyelitis. Period. No debridement was performed of this wound, nor was a bone biopsy taken. Period. He was back here today for follow-up in regards to this issue. Period. End quote. Interestingly, Mr. Tertullio volunteered that he was recently hospitalized at Glen Cove Hospital for cellulitis of his right foot. Period. He was presenting after a seven-month absence. Period. He states over the last several months, he has stopped taking his medications, including his insulin, due to lack of ability to pay for his medications. Period. He also lost the use of his car and has been unable to attend doctor appointments. Period. He did have an MRI after being admitted recently to Glen Cove Hospital. Period. It displayed what appeared to be early signs consistent with osteomyelitis of the remaining bases of the first and second metatarsals. Period. He was offered a below-the-knee amputation at that time, but declined. Period. Dr. Morris noted his hemoglobin A1C at the hospital is 15.3. period, the patient was, quote, feeling good, end quote, and had been taking his antibiotics as directed. But he was ambulating in his sneakers. Pit exam revealed no significant erythema, edema, or drainage. But he has no abnormal warmth, and there was no foul odor. But the wound itself on the plantar aspect of the foot had shifted more medially than it was when he was here last spring. Period, it measured 50 by 50 millimeters. Period, when he was there in the office last time, it measured 14 by 16 millimeters. Period, the wound itself has a mostly granular base, but there is some cratonization, C-R-A-T-O-N-I-Z-A-T-I-O-N, within the wound. Comma, there is a granular rim noted around it. Period, there was no spot where it probes deep. Period, there was no foul odor and no drainage noted from the wound. Period. Dr. Morris had a long conversation with the claimant about his prior treatment and recent hospitalization. Period, the patient informed him most of his issues have to do with his finances and inability to pay for care. Period, he was going on Medicare as early as April of this year. Period, on this visit, he underwent a light debridement of the wound and with saline scrubs. Period, he was dispensed a wedge shoe to alleviate some pressure on his forefoot. Period, it was hoped in the coming months he would be able to control the infection and be able to salvage the patient's foot. Period, he was told his prognosis is guarded and that he may eventually end up having a below-the-knee amputation. Period, they had a very frank discussion about, quote, compliance, comma, particularly about his insulin, comma, to keep his blood sugars under control, and his cutting back on his drinking, as well as keeping his foot offloaded with the wedge shoe. Period, he's expected to return here in approximately 2 weeks for follow-up. Period, end quote. His next visit with Dr. Morris on a typed progress note was 2/25/20. Period. He had been in the hospital again for cellulitis of his leg, as well as upper respiratory and GI issues. Period. He had been on antibiotics for several days, and his foot was deemed to be, quote, not infected, end quote, by both podiatry and infectious disease consultants at the hospital. Period. On this visit, the wound was 45 by 45 millimeters, with an excellent granular base and no sign of infection. Period. There was no erythema, comma, edema, comma, drainage, comma, or foul odor. Period, it does not probe deep to bone. Period, his foot itself is relatively spared of edema and erythema. Period, he has some swelling noted in his right lower extremity, which he states is, quote, regular for him. Period, end quote. He was going to continue wound care and his wedge shoe as before. Period. Again, Mr. DiTullio was a no-show on several subsequent scheduled appointments. Period. On, that's that, the last no-show documented visit was on 1/18/21. Period, the last documented office visit was on 9/18/20. Period. On 8/16/21, Dr. Morris forwarded his records to your office. Period. New paragraph findings and conclusions. It is evident that John DiTullio presented to Glen Cove Emergency Room on 11/4/17. With complaints of right foot swelling and pain. Period, they noted a history of diabetes mellitus and diabetic ulcer. Period. He was found to have a severely ill foot, for which he was admitted to the hospital and quickly underwent surgical intervention on 11/5/17 by Dr. Morris. Period. He had several specialist consultations while admitted. Period. He eventually was discharged from the hospital somewhere around 11:30-17, although no discharge summary was provided. Period. After discharge, he continued to see his personal physicians, but was essentially non-compliant with their care. Period. This had also been the case prior to his hospital admission. Period. Dr. Morris followed him closely, and unfortunately, Mr. Distilio was a no-show on myriad scheduled appointments. Period. He was not compliant with medication and wound care. Period. On 11/27/18, his blood sugar was 370, and he was referred to his internist to get his blood sugars under control. Period. Quote, otherwise the wound would not likely heal. Period. End quote. He continued to see Dr. Morris. He wrote a letter on 1/27/20 offering his opinion relative to the flood at work. Period. And underline this, Mr. DiTullio had an ulcer on his foot before working for the insured. Period. He asserted issues with compliance secondary to his finances. Period. On 6/24/21, a certificate of death was filed for a date of birth from the previous day. The immediate cause was documented as cardiopulmonary arrest, due to or as a consequence of respiratory failure, due to or as a consequence of infective endocarditis. Period. In paragraph, it is abundantly clear that Mr. DiTullio had signs and symptoms of uncontrolled diabetes and diabetic foot abnormalities well before 10/24/17, period. He had already been treated for a diabetic foot ulcer on at least one occasion, period. It was inevitable that his baseline condition under these circumstances would progress, particularly in light of his noncompliance. This would have been the case regardless of the flood at work and water in his boots. Period. New paragraph. Hopefully this is documented in the summary of prior records, but I may have to add those if this was not the case. Period. As noted on page 5, he was seen at Glen Cove Emergency Room on 9/19/15 and was diagnosed with chest pain and diabetic ketoacidosis. The latter speaks to extremely uncontrolled blood sugars and a life-threatening outcome, period. While hospitalized, it was noted diagnoses were chest pain, possible angina, diabetes, renal failure, and abnormal EKG with cardiac risk factors, period. His treatment also included another visit to the emergency room on 8/25/16 due to left toe pain and left great toe ulcer with swelling and foul odor. Period. He had a 1-year history of unaddressed diabetic ulceration to the right great toe. Period. And underline that last phrase. Exam revealed a stage 3 ulceration of the right great toe with no drainage. Paired x-rays of the left foot found swelling and arterial calcification, comma, bone degeneration, comma, and no fracture. Paired exam found edema of both legs as well as left foot, mild cellulitis. Paired the left plantar surface of the left toe had an open wound measuring 1 centimeter by 2 centimeters by 0.5 centimeters with 100% granulation. Paired Dr. Morris's diagnoses were non-healing left great toe diabetic foot ulcer, comma, cellulitis of the left foot, comma, poorly controlled diabetes, comma, and diabetic neuropathy. Period. This obviously would have occurred well before the incident of 10/24/17, and clearly illustrates Mr. DiTullio is susceptible to advancing problems due to poor compliance and diabetic foot ulcer. This included the left foot ulcer in 2016 and the right foot ulcer in 2017. Period. New paragraph is earlier records that begin on 8/15/12 shows he presented for insulin refill. Pretty uses Novolog 15 units twice per day. Novolog 70/30/15 units. Scratch that. Novolog 70/30, 15 units two times per day. Pretty his diagnosis was insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus. Period. He was prescribed the additional insulin. Period. This continued over the next many months and years. Period in 12/2/13. He was diagnosed with uncontrolled diabetes mellitus type 2. Period. He was utilizing metformin 500 milligrams twice per day and Farxiga FARXIGA 10 milligrams once per day, as well as IMGEO, IMJEO, 24 units every 8 hours. Period. The next visit with this provider was on 2/11/16, when he offered no complaints. Period. Diagnoses included wound ulcer of the left great toe and diabetes mellitus neuropathy. Period. And underline this once again demonstrates Mr. DiTullio's susceptibility to infection on his feet from diabetic neuropathy and uncontrolled diabetes mellitus. Period. In fact, on 8/25/16, Dr. Gambino wrote he had a history of left great toe ulceration. Period. He has not addressed this for 1 year and currently has a deep 1.5-inch wound with foul odor. Period. The toe is presently 3 times normal size. Period. Mr. DiTullio presented to the emergency room on numerous occasions. Period. One such occasion was on 8/25/16. And complained of right first toe pain that began gradually 1 year ago. The symptoms are constant and pain level is 5/10. happy to be seen by his primary care physician for evaluation of a 1.5-inch deep right great toe ulcer with swelling and foul odor. Bear the patient hasn't had a follow-up in over a year. Bear the toe was swollen 3 times its normal size. Period. He was examined and underwent certain x-rays. Period. He was diagnosed with cellulitis, comma, chest pain, comma, diabetic ulcer of the toe, comma, non-pressure chronic ulcer of the other part of a unspecified foot with unspecified severity, comma, and type 2 diabetes mellitus, period. He had myriad laboratory studies performed, as well as EKG and chest x-ray, period. His serum glucose was extremely elevated at 465 milligrams per deciliter, period. He also had an elevated creatinine of 1.49, with a high normal of 1.30. This speaks to kidney disease, likely as a result of his diabetes mellitus. Period. X-rays of what were indicated as, quote, left toes, end quote, showed swelling and arterial calcification. There was some degeneration, but no fracture, period. He had a consultation on 8/25/16 by Dr. Sordi, S-O-R-D-I, but this was given a history of, quote, non-healing left great toe diabetic foot ulcer, comma, cellulitis of the left foot, comma, and poorly controlled diabetes, period, end quote. Although his medications were supposed to include Lantus insulin, Dr. Sordi was not sure if he was actually taking it, period. The patient was also not sure if he was taking Januvia in addition to his metformin, period. Upon exam, after exam, he was diagnosed with open wound to the left toe, comma, poorly controlled type 2 diabetes mellitus with diabetic neuropathy. His last A1C was around 11.5, speaking to it being under control. He needed to be admitted and started on insulin to get his glucose under control. The sonogram done on 8/26/16 involved what is indicated as the left foot as well. Period. New paragraph number one. It is my opinion that claimant's pre-existing medical condition of diabetes contributed to the infection that resulted in amputation of his right foot. Period. Diabetes mellitus is known to place patients at risk for infections in general, period. This applies even more to insulin-dependent diabetics, period. Once infected, an individual's response to antibiotics and appropriate care are often delayed and ineffective. Paired new paragraph number two. I do not believe the working conditions claimant was subject to on 10/24/17, contributed to or exacerbated the infection of the ulcer in his right foot. Appeared as noted above. He already had an extremely infected and progressing ulcer on the right foot before the event of 10/24/17, period number 3. In light of the above, the working conditions of 10/24/17 did not contribute to the need for the right foot surgeries and amputation, period. And state this. Although the development of this foot ulcer and its progression occurred concurrent with his employment, that employment did not directly contribute to the infection of the ulcer in his right foot and subsequent need for treatment, including surgeries and amputation. Period. End.